I went down to the fishing hole, and I sat down with my fishing pole. Some grabbed my hook, and he got my bait, and he jerked me out in the middle of the lake. Some jumped.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Henning in his studio, and we have Eddie Damo from Van Warmer Resorts in Baja, California, sir, the East Cape of Los Barriles, which is the barrels, and maybe we'll give you a tip as to why that town is named that. It's a little local legend, but speaking of local legends, Eddie at the Van Warmer Resorts, and Eddie, before I introduce you, I just want to say a couple of things. Van Warmer is not a Spanish name, but
no.
But that area and Chacha, what was her family name?
Ruiz.
Ruiz?
Ruiz Gonzalez. Okay. So it would be Rosa Maria Ruiz Gonzalez.
And her family is local. And this young Dutchman came down there, in the 50s or early 60s or whatever it was, and fell in love with this Spanish girl, got married, and her family had owned this area, which is the Palmas de Cortez, which is the Bay of the Palms, I think, was the name of the property. It's like 5 miles of beachfront that her family owned. And they opened this resort and then another one, then another one. And it is by far, I would say Los Barriles, I mean, that's pretty much the founding family of that area. But in Chacha, yeah. And Chacha, if you're down there, if you're lucky or maybe not lucky, she still wanders around and she rules the roost.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You know, Los Barriles is a small little town, but it is a growing town. And nowadays, you know, we have so many snowbirds that come down in the wintertime, usually around the October time frame, and they stay until about May. And because the weather here during that time is just absolutely phenomenal. It gets a little windy, so we get some windsurfers down here and the snowbirds from Canada and northern United States, they flock down here, and a lot of them own houses here. And it's kind of centrally located, Los Barriles. It's an hour and a half from La Paz, and it's an hour and a half from downtown Cabo, so you can basically live in a small rural town, mm-hmm. but yet be close enough to big cities where you can drive an hour and a half.
It's only about 45 minutes or so from the airport.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like when, you know, my wife and I, we live in Los Barriles year round. So when we go to Costco or Home Depot, things like that, we just, you know, we got to drive an hour and a half to Cabo, and yeah. we can do our shopping and then come right back. And so it works out nice. You know, we don't have to live in the big city.
It's a beautiful area.
Small town.
Beautiful area.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's it's clean. There's no graffiti. There's no crime. There's no street people. It's just, and there's nobody trying to sell you timeshares or chiclets or any of that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes this area real special, is that we're more of a fishing town, artist community, fishing community type of thing. The only people that come up this way are people that want to get away from that, away from the big city feel of Cabo and La Paz, and they want to have something a little bit smaller. We even get a lot of people, the locals from Cabo and La Paz, will come and spend like a weekend or a long weekend in Los Barriles just to get away from what they're accustomed to. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of that happening here. So it's a nice little town.
And again, you mentioned fishing. It is a very, very well known. The East Cape of Baja, as far as fishing, is incredible. Give us an idea of what's going on down there right now.
Well, right now, you know, it's been billfish, mostly billfish, and a few other species. But the blue marlin, the last couple of weeks, actually about the last month, have been really, really big, and as far as coming in big numbers, and we're seeing a lot of them. I mean, I would say in the last 5 years, this is the year where we've seen more blue marlin than we have in the last 5 years. So if you're looking to come down and catch a big blue marlin, this is the time to do it. Every day I go down to the dock and I see, and I talk to the captains, what do you guys land? Almost, I would say one out of every two captains says, oh, we landed a blue marlin and we released it. So it's just become just incredible numbers of blue marlin. I'm not saying that they're all going to be 700-pound blue marlin. They can be as small as 250 pounds all the way up
to about 500, 600. Eddie, let's put it in perspective. I'm not saying I'm normal, but I've been going down to Baja at least once a year, every year for about the last 30 years. Since I was six, I think. Anyway, but
Yeah, it's a long time.
But you know, I've probably caught, you know, I don't know, hundreds of marlin, but only two blues and no blacks.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's normally the way it is. Yeah, stripes are a no brainer down there because they're almost indigenous. Some of them actually stay there. But when you look at, when you're talking about blues and blacks, that's pretty rare, and to be able to hook into one of those, because the stripes, you know, a big stripe marlin might be, 150, you know, pushing 200 is max, but most of them are in the 90 to 120 pound range, but the blues, you know, now you're talking. A blue average size is probably over 200, and more likely it's somewhere between 200 and 300 pounds.
Correct. You know, and another thing that a lot of boats are able to do these last few weeks, which I haven't seen in a long time, is get the Grand Slam in one day. A lot of boats are getting
a stripe blue and black?
No, actually, it's a stripe of blue and a sailfish. So they're getting those three in one day, which used to be where you'd see once every couple months, you'd see somebody say, oh, they got the Grand Slam. But and now it's the last couple of weeks it's been kind of not a common thing, but it's happening more and more.
In one day, I'd love to do
the Grand Slam.
Wow!
Yeah.
So the sailfish.
We're also seeing a lot of wahoo too, John, down here.
Yeah.
I know that earlier in the season there was a lot of wahoo up in the La Paz area, and we're starting to see a lot of them down here now. One of our boats the other day got seven in one day with four anglers on board, and they had a great time. And so we're starting to see big numbers in wahoo as well.
Man, they're not easy. I mean, it's like
No,
I mean, you can, you know, getting them hooked is one thing, but you know, they've got teeth like that incisors that, you know, just kind of fit together perfectly, and they're razor sharp. So just because you hook one doesn't mean you're going to catch one.
No, yeah. Usually with wahoo, a lot of people will hook wahoo while they're trolling for dorado and have an incidental catch. But then usually you're not trolling with wire leader. So when you do hook it and you don't have wire leader, you got to make sure you keep that line very tight. Don't give them any room to turn, because if they turn, they're going to bite through the leader and they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon to actually land a wahoo and end up seeing a couple of hooks in its mouth from it biting up from previous anglers.
Yeah.
So you might see that as well.
So you've got wahoo, sailfish, striped, blue marlin. You haven't mentioned dorado, but...
dorado are starting to come in as well. I mean, they're always around. We just haven't caught any good-sized ones, and we're starting to see some bigger ones now. We're actually seeing them in the 30, 40-pound class, which is what we're used to seeing down here on the East Cape. Prior to this last week, we were seeing a lot of small dorado, but now we're starting to see some size, which is good because we're kind of creeping up on that time frame with our big dorado shootouts coming up in a couple weeks. So
let's just mention real quick, Eddie. First of all, getting down there is pretty simple. You just fly into the Los Cabos, and right now, you know, they've got some pretty good deals on some rates. You just fly in there, and Eddie will fix you up, send a van to pick you up, take you up. And let's just put it this way, for around $1,000 total, you know, with all you're going to spend with your room and your transportation from the airport and your fishing and stuff, it's an incredible deal. And so give Eddie a call at Van Wormer Resorts, and I even know the phone number. It's 877, Chuck, you taught me this, 877-777-TUNA. Or you can also go to Van Wormer Resorts. You just Google it. But it sounds like there's a time of the year. Things are really happening. And don't be afraid to go down there on short notice. Just pick up your passport, get an airplane ticket, and take off. Eddie, thank you very much. And that's such great stuff, great news. Okay, you are listening.
All right, John, thank you so much for having me.
You are listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll be right back with you.
first named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico, still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to REEL funadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
There's a boat race down the river. There's a slow boat on my mind.
Oh, good song. Keep up with that. I like that. Really? What's, I didn't know he did fishing stuff. Anyway, this is Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan. And right now, we are going to find out a little bit about SST, sea surface temperature. And obviously, anybody that knows anything about fishing knows that the water temperature has a lot to do with where the fish are. Well, just so happens that we have Jeff Gammon, who is the proprietor of Terrafin. I wish you had a different name. I can never remember that, Terrafin. But it's something you subscribe to. It's like $100 a year, which is almost free. But it gives you access to all information about sea surface temperature. And, we'll find out more about it. But anyway, Jeff, welcome to Fish Talk Radio. And let's kind of introduce yourself real quick, and then let's get into some fun stuff.
Well, John, thanks for having me. As you said, the name of the company is Terrafin Satellite Imaging. And we thought about changing it, but that's printed on all of my letters.
So lazy.
Yeah. We're never changing it. We provide satellite imagery. We take satellite imagery from the NOAA weather satellites, and we process charts that show the water temperatures, the water clarity and color. Those are the chlorophyll or plankton charts, a few other currents, and altimetry. And we do that for all of the U.S., just about all of Mexico, Caribbean, Hawaii, Alaska. Mm-hmm. So we've pretty much got you covered here. And we do that on a multiple times a day, and the anglers subscribe to the service and access the charts either on the computer at home or using our app on a mobile, on a phone or iPad or something like that.
Well, I tell you what, even if you only use it once a year, it's worth the price of admission because, you know, what you do, and everybody knows that when it comes to fishing, there are certain, you know, different fish like different temperature of water. And then, of course, if you can find that the temperature breaks when you're going out in the morning, you plug in your Terrafin and you go, oh, okay, well, you go about 30 miles this way and here's the kind of where the temperature break is, then that's because everything lives on the edge. But, or you know what the temperature is, you know what kind of fish that are going to be more than likely going to be there.
Right, and you know that's kind of the key these days. It's we're decades past the days when you could just pop out a couple miles offshore and always head the same direction and throw your lures in and start catching fish. The fish stocks are not the same as they once were, and so now it really is important if you want to be successful to put in your time in the most likely areas, and those tend to be the areas of the change where the temperature, mm-hmm. water temperature changes, in particular with the chlorophyll charts that will show you the clean blue water versus the.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because that's something that, you know, I'm not really clear on. Is that the chlorophyll and the clear water, but because you've got two different charts. You get the one that has a sea surface temperature. And by the way, when you're talking about the temperature, sea surface, you're measuring at the top. Well, let's just say that you're in the ocean and it's showing 85 degree water in Baja. How deep, you know, if you go down 10 or 15 feet, what is the temperature change?
Well, it'll be cooler because you're right. We're measuring, the satellite measures just the skim surface of the water, the top centimeter, basically. Mm-hmm. So there's can be a few degrees, a couple of degrees difference between what you'll see on the temperature chart versus even what your temperature gauge on the boat may be seeing, because it's down, you know, 2 or 3 feet below the surface. But what tends to be the same is the change. When we're looking at an area, say on the chart, it shows that it goes from 85 to 82, and it's a 3 degree temperature change, that would still hold true even though your gauge might read that as being 82 to 79. So it's that area where that temperature change is, or the color change, is what we're really... It's what our type of data is best at showing, and that's what's going to help you the most.
Okay.
With the chlorophyll charts, you know, we recommend that people pay pretty close attention to the chlorophyll charts, and if you put them side by side with a temperature chart, a lot of times things will match right up, and you'll see. You tend to have clean blue water, which is water with very low levels of chlorophyll, and that's kind of the highway. That's where the pelagic fish like to travel, in that clean blue water.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that water is so clean and blue and pretty is that it doesn't have much in the way of plankton, and it doesn't have really any food in it. So while the fish like to travel in that, they like to eat, and so they'll come up on the edges of that where that blue water
there we go.
Meets the edge with a more off-color, greener, but more plankton, more nutrients, more bait fish,
mm-hmm.
and that becomes the kind of the activity zone where that edge is.
Yeah. Well, we talk about it all the time. It's usually you're looking at the edge of the drop-off, the edge of the current break, the edge of the water temperature, the edge of the plankton. That's usually, you know, where you're going to find them. But and again, that seems to hold true.
Right, and that, you know, that's pretty much the key, and that's the same reason why, you know, the temperature break work as a when you're fishing. It's really more about there's food on one side of that and not on the other, and the fish kind of stack up in that area where the food is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not so much that they're afraid to go into the colder water or something. They'll go into the colder water just fine if there's food to eat there.
Yeah. Well, and it's been, you know, we talked about this last week about the water temperatures and the you know, what's happening is what we call the new normal, which is nothing is normal anymore. And we talked, you know, Eddie was talking about blue in the previous segment about the blue marlin and the sailfish that are thick in the East Cape area, which is normally doesn't happen until October.
Right, or they normally have the tournament at the end of.
Well, there's a
July.
Reason. Yeah, there's a reason all these tournaments are in October. It's because that's usually the best fishing. But you know what you do is, I know that you spend time. You got a place down in in the East Cape of Baja, and you like to fish, and you're certainly knowledgeable, but you also, you know, when you do these maps and things, you probably take a look at it. What have you seen this year as far as, you know, trends in water temperature and some of the things that are not normal?
Well, you know, what was interesting this year, I mean, it's pretty clearly right now everything is warmer than normal. We're probably 3 to 4, maybe even 5 degrees above normal over a lot of the West Coast. But what was interesting, too, was that in the winter, things never really cooled off. It stayed warm all through the winter. There were scattered tuna being caught off Southern California pretty much all through the winter. When every time I was in Los Barriles, it seemed like water temps were pushing high 70s, 80 degrees when, you know, normally at that time of year it would be low 70s or even below. So it was really an interesting, what we would consider the off season, because there was no off season. It's never cooled off.
Well, the California coast has been crazy. Just actually 2 days ago, I was out on a boat, and 20 people caught 20 bluefin tuna. And you never see those here.
No, and there's big fish out there, too. It's just, you know.
Didn't get any big ones, but, you know, they were, you know, they were 25 to 40-pound class, so that wasn't bad. But anyway, to try and bring it all together again about TerraFin, what do you use it for, and how does that help you find fish?
Well, we use it to just try to find those boundaries, those areas where the life is more likely to be. And, you know, the primary customers for this are fishermen, but there's also the divers tend to use it. They like the chlorophyll charts a lot because they try to get on the edge, but they want to be in the clean water because they want to
see. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, people have different uses for it. But, and sometimes the best it'll do for you is kind of tell you, well, this is an area to stay away from. This is just a big blob of no, you know, no food. And it's kind of that thing.
Well, you know what? If you're going to be going offshore, the price of fuel, the price of the day, you know, if you're not using TerraFin, then it's, you know, I wouldn't say you're stupid, but, you know, it's almost free, $100 a year. And you'd spend that in half a day on gas if you go in the wrong direction.
One day, and it'll pay for itself.
There you go.
Sure.
So TerraFin, I guess probably easy thing to just to Google it, and it's kind of pretty much the way it sounds.
It's easy. It's terrafin.com.
Okay.
And most of the input
okay.
is on there. And
looks like we're out of here, Jeff. Thank you very much. We appreciate all that input, and we'll talk to you soon. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
That's what I want to do.
Stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500 you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best in class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts, glory, Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
It's a beautiful day, oh, what do you say? Let's go fishing. What a wonderful way to spend the day just a fishing. Oh, the water on the lake is smooth as glass. Oh, we might catch a sunny, we might catch a bass. Oh, what do you say? Let's go fishing.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have Ken Cleveland here standing by, operating the phones and taking notes. And we have Betty Bauman from Ladies Let's Go Fishing in Florida that we've had on more than a couple of times, but it just... Betty, first of all, I enjoy having you on, but, you know, we talked years ago about the kind of the trend of women in fishing, that they were becoming more involved, but I think it's become a lot more than that. Why don't you go ahead and start off, tell us a little bit about Ladies Let's Go Fishing, and then let's talk about some ladies, and then we're going to get into some fishing.
Great. Ladies Let's Go Fishing was developed 20 years ago to give women a helping hand to get into fishing, because statistics from the American Sport Fishing Association indicated that, you know, women make about a third of the anglers, but as far as the market of interest, 44% approximately is the number, a percentage of people are women who are interested in fishing. Let me clarify, 44% of those interested in fishing are women. So my premise was to make a program that spans a weekend where we have the networking, the sit-down classes on inshore, offshore, bottom fishing, and the hands-on practice. So before they go fishing, it's the no-yelling school, by the way, they can learn to tie their knots, the cast, throw a cast net, drive a boat, back a trailer, how to put their floors on, rig a ballyhoo, and the crowning touch is they get to go fishing the last day. So we amass charter boats and organize them on charter boats so they learn and they practice and they get to do it on the water. And then we have, you know, cocktail parties and networking so they can meet other ladies that are in the same learning curve.
Betty, slow down just a second. You said you've been doing this for 20 years, and the statistics that you just gave us are current statistics, correct?
Yes.
So you're saying that more than 40% of the people interested in fishing now are women. What was it 20 years ago? Do you have any idea?
No, but it was less. I mean, when I started the program, people laughed at me and said, women and fishing, are you crazy? And I said, you know what? I get yelled at by my husband, and I would go fishing more if I knew what he was talking about. And I understood the terminology and felt like I was competent.
But, I'm not saying it's just because of you, but you certainly, you know, helped that trend where, you know, the numbers that you're talking about are higher than what I had, believed. But I don't doubt what you say is true. And just on a trip, there was 20 of us, and I think there was 5 women on an overnight trip. And you're right. And actually, one of them was really good. She caught more than anything. Yeah, and women, they're in some ways, you know, you think of the fair sex, but in some ways, you know, physically they have a disadvantage, but and also in some ways they have an advantage, especially in finesse and fly fishing.
Oh yes, they do. And the thing about women, we have 8,000 graduates. Women are not typically solo anglers. They want to share the experience with other people. So if you bring in one woman, you could be bringing in another 12 to 15 people that once she gets hooked on fishing, that she's going to talk her family or friends or neighbors and network to other people to get them into fishing.
Well, let me ask you a question because, you know, usually guys that go on fishing trips, it's a guy trip. You know, Ken's saying, yeah. I mean, it's like we're going to go fishing and it's a guy trip. And so the woman goes, okay, well, you guys go ahead and have a good time. She's not interested in going. But now you're starting to see couples go. But what about girls, you know, girls gone wild fishing trip? So you get a bunch of girls together and say, hey, let's go fishing and forget the guys?
Oh, yes, they do. And it's not that they don't like guys. Sometimes guys, they have more experience and they take the lead. And when as a group of women, they're all equal. And, you know, women like to laugh and giggle and play music and enjoy the fish. So it's a little bit different kind of atmosphere with all women. And we have, like, some chapters and things like that fish together. And they love the dynamic of it being all women. Not to say that men are not invited, and a lot of times if we're on a charter boat, you know, the captain and the mate are men. There's nothing wrong with that. Women have sort of a bonding thing with other women.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the guys going fishing together. The ladies like to fish together sometimes, too.
Oh, that's great. Let's get off of that subject for a little bit, but that's very interesting and exciting. But you live in southern Florida. Give us an idea of what's going on down there now and some of the subject that you'd like to cover.
Okay. Well, fishing has been pretty good. It's been kind of blowing down here. I'm finding that people are going after other species because the productive fish aren't as plentiful. We're fishing in the Keys and, we're finding, you know, a lot of the dolphin are too small. You know, there's 20 inch minimum or approximately that. And, people are catching 17 inches. So they're going after other species. You know, even barracuda now has a big market. FWC is coming up with regulations on how many barracuda people can eat. And, Hispanic community especially, like to eat barracuda. In the past, they've been known for ciguatera, which is a really bad nerve disease you get when you eat a big barracuda or other fish that,
that have been around eating smaller fish that are contaminated. Yeah.
Yeah, or even grouper and such. You know, I don't like grouper. The smaller grouper are a little bit less likely. You know, it's more the bigger fish that absorb the toxins in what they eat, and then they pass it on to humans. And then we're going to get the lionfish, but I don't want to jump that subject until you're ready.
Well, I think one of the things you mentioned, first of all, for those of us that are not in Florida, when you say dolphin, you're really talking something called a dolphin fish, which is normally a Dorado or mahi mahi. So, no, we don't go out and eat dolphins. But the other point of it is interesting because we talked a little bit about the names of fish, you know, because when you go to a restaurant, people want swordfish, salmon, sea bass. Well, they're you know, they've been overfished. So a lot of the fish that are maybe not as popular but can be very good, people are starting to find out about. And when you're owning a restaurant, you know, you've got to be concerned about the cost. And if you can get something that tastes really good at a lower cost, then, you know, those are becoming more popular. But let's go now. You mentioned lionfish, and I think there's an interesting story there, and we don't have a lot of time to cover it, but so let's go right on into it. We only got about 2 minutes about lionfish.
Okay, well, lionfish are probably, could be the largest man-made disaster in our oceans ever. I got involved in lionfish tournaments because about 5 years ago, before anybody even knew about lionfish, but there was a concern about lionfish in the Bahamas. They are beautiful fish that people, you know, you'll see them in saltwater fish tanks.
Aquariums. Mm-hmm.
Aquariums and things like that. And, you know, what we expect, what we think is that people took them out of the aquariums and released them in the water because they didn't want to kill them, but they had them in the aquariums, they got too big, or they're eating all the other fish. Lionfish are voracious. They can eat fish two-thirds their size. They can consume a reef in a matter of days. And what they do is they eat all the juvenile fish, and that's affecting all the fisheries. This has expanded from the Bahamas to many areas in Florida. There's a lot of lionfish tournaments. I did one about 5 years ago, and some of the lionfish tournaments at that time were producing thousands of them.
Wow, so this is not a catch and release. You want to catch them to get rid of them.
Yeah, actually, FWC in Florida is allowing, you know, harvesting of lionfish with no limits. It's mostly a spear fishery, but people do get them deep dropping. They are not poisonous. They are venomous, which means that they have venom on their spines, and divers have to be very careful because if they're stung by them, they have about 12 minutes before they're in excruciating pain.
Ooh.
I know people that have been through that, and it's so bad they want to cut their arms off.
Ooh.
It's terrible, terrible. And it lasts about 12 hours. It can
Ooh.
Lead to heart attacks. It's, you know, serious stuff. However, the meat, once you cut the fins
mm-hmm.
off the fish, the meat is absolutely delicious. The fish itself is not poisonous. It has venom in its
spine.
Fin.
Yeah.
Yes, in its spines.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting stuff. Now, we mentioned it. We might as well put it on the air. Is if you get stung by one, what do you do?
Well, the best thing to do immediately is put hot water on, and if somebody's in a center console, the water that comes out of the outboard is the best thing to do is you know, put that on the sting immediately. Or, you know, other people, you know, if you have an bigger engine,
you could put
water on top of your engine, fire your engine up, and heat it up as fast as possible because you don't have much time before excruciating pain sets in.
And the other alternative is?
They say that you can pee on it as well.
Okay.
The warmth of the pee, you know, have nothing
acid,
else,
yeah.
You know, do that. But really hot, the hottest water you can get, almost the scalding, is the best way to neutralize that. And it has to be done really fast. You have about a 12-minute window.
Wow. Anyway, they're great eating fish. They're beautiful fish, but you don't want to get touched the little spine that come off the top. And let's try and get rid of them. But Betty, that was interesting, especially the stats on women, you know, and let's go fishing. And but give us a real quick way to get in touch with you.
Oh, www.ladiesletsgofishing.com, phone 954-475-9068, or email fish@ladiesletsgofishing.com. We have a Keys event November 13th to the 15th, and a hoedown fundraiser at a famous ranch here in Fort Lauderdale, October 3rd.
Okay, ladies, let's go fishing. That's easy to find. Betty, you're delightful. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. We appreciate you tuning in. And go to our website, go to our Facebook, get in touch with us, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Oh, Lord. Honey, that sounds like rain. Hurry up, woman. Get the youngest. Let's go.